Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show where we are making the world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover a wide range of topics from good business etiquette, handling pet peeves, common practical sense, because etiquette encompasses every interaction. If you are listening live, call 516-418-5894. Public speaking coach, trainer, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna. Today is Sunday, December 8th, 2019. We're broadcasting live from the wonderful, lovely city of Atlanta, Georgia. This evening, our security tips will continue, and we'll call it Security Tips Part 2, so please stay tuned. Well, again, welcome so much to our show. Again, the name of it is What is Etiquette Anyway? And it would only be fitting for us to answer that question for the new listeners. And etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and it later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Now, who we have to thank for putting these rules in place is Charles I and II, because they copied the rules from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So kudos to Charles I and II. Once again, I want to bring back by popular demand here security specialist Croons. If you did not have an opportunity to join us for the first show on last week, I'm going to suggest that you go back and listen to part one, as he shared so much wonderful, wonderful information. And I cannot suggest to you more highly that you go back and listen to that show. For those of you who didn't listen to the show, you may be listening for the first time. Let me tell you a little bit about him, give you a little bit about his background. Again, he's a physical security executive protection specialist, originally from North Carolina. His background is a soldier in the U.S. Army, where he served nearly 23 years before retiring honorably in 2012. And his service has taken him to several different countries, Europe, the Middle East, as well as serving in the United States as well. And, of course, post-military, he's embarked upon a second career in the private security industry, later the corporate security sector, where he continues to serve as a security professional for a Fortune 100 company with responsibility for over five states. So with that background, he is certainly the one that we want to have on this evening to answer some of our questions. Security Specialist Croons, how are you?
Good evening, Donna. I'm doing well. It's great to be back with you.
Well, I am so delighted to have you back on the show. Of course, due to popular demand, we were still receiving questions. So we are going to certainly dive into those questions. First of all, let me say this. I would like to say thank you for your service of 23 years. We certainly do appreciate you for that. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
And I've received so much feedback about the last show. I mean, I've had people even stop me and say, wow, you know, the information was great and wonderful, and oh, gosh, I need to go back and listen to it. So, and that's what we want to do on our show, is we want to provide some great information. And if you don't mind, I want to go ahead and start with some of the questions, just to ensure that we have time to address all the questions that we have received. I have one that says, hi, Etiquette Lady. On the last show, you discussed credit card skimmers. I usually pay at the pump, but would it be better to go inside? And this comes from Ben C. in Lithonia. Also, he says, also thank your guest for me. So he wants to know if
yes.
it will be better.
Go ahead.
He wants to know whether it would be better to go inside.
Yes, the answer is yes. It's always better to go inside because you can deal directly with the cashier and conduct your transaction with no other interruptions or no other possible interruptions. And so, yes, the answer to that is it's better to go inside. It's better to pay with cash because, again, cash, you don't have to worry about any skimming or even perhaps the sales clerk taking your card information. That has happened as well with restaurants and things where they just photocopy the card and the card number and then later use it for their own purchases. So the short answer is yes, it's always best to go directly in. And if you're not strapped for time, not too much worried about the convenience or inconvenience that will cause, then yes, going in and paying in cash will be the optimal way for security purposes.
Okay. Thank you for that. And Ben, thank you so much for sending in that question. And that's interesting because I always go inside, but you know what? I never thought about the point from the actual salespeople. Wow, I'm thinking in terms of not using it at the pump because of the skimmers that could be there, but did not think about the salespeople. And like you said, that's happened before. Wow, okay.
Yes.
Very interesting. Okay, so here's one that says, Etiquette Lady, thanks for what you do. Please ask your guests if it is better to shop online or in the store. This comes from Casey in Flint, Michigan. Thank you, Casey.
Well, better in the sense of, I think that's really a relative question. It depends on the individual shopper and their needs. I say that because my former employee, JCPenney, there were many times, particularly during the holiday season, where the better deals financially were online. Because let's just face it, no matter how large your mall or your store is, you won't have as much floor space as ordering online that comes from the warehouse. And so if a person is looking more for variety, they probably, even with Amazon, they'll probably have a better opportunity to get what they need if they order online. So in that respect, it may be better. However, some people still like, you know, lacing up the shoes, putting on the clothes, cranking up the car, physically driving into a brick-and-mortar store, and all that goes along with that shopping experience. And for them, obviously going to a brick-and-mortar store would be better. Security-wise, ordering online, physical security, that is, of their own person, is going to be better because they're in their own home or in their own car or wherever they're ordering at. And you have to worry about those considerations if you go to a physical store. However, well, I should say conversely, if you order online, there are other cyber considerations in terms of security that you have to consider as well. And that's why I say it really depends on the individual person.
And that's one thing I was thinking about as you were talking about online. Can you repeat what you said, that the shopper should actually have their eye open for when it comes to shopping online, what you told us online
sure.
this week?
Of course. I mentioned about how the shopper needs to make sure that it is a secure website that they are ordering from. And you can that can be indicated and is indicated by the S after the HTTP that you see on URLs. If it is an S, that is an indication that it is secure. If it is not, that is an indication. If it does not appear, that is an indication that it may not be secure. That's not to say that it's a phisher or a scammer. It's just to say that, hey, there is no authentication that this particular website is secure with respect to ordering online.
And so, and that doesn't necessarily, well, it doesn't really matter whether this is a large store that we're aware of or, you know, have heard of, like you mentioned, JCPenney, or maybe one of the smaller stores or outlets. So that doesn't seem to matter, right? Just to make sure that it is
secure. No,
it wouldn't
matter. But an online fraudster will probably target a larger, more well-known brand like a JCPenney or like a Target or something else because they just think they'll get more, they'll have an opportunity to get more traffic with consumers who want to shop with the brand that they know as opposed to, you know, a mom-and-pop shop that perhaps they don't know and maybe a friend told them, oh, they have great deals on furniture or great deals on a flat screen TV, sometimes shoppers are a little more leery on that because they've never heard of them. But if fraudsters and scammers can kind of piggyback on the, as I mentioned last week, the website scheme and colors that makes it look like an authentic brand that you know and that you would welcome, then that's what they'll do because it's, let's just face it, it makes it easier for them to get that information, collect that data.
So in other words, don't be in such a hurry as you are actually going to these websites thinking that it is okay and not really taking the extra time to, you know, kind of follow some of the tips that you've been sharing with us to make sure or to ensure, for that matter, that it is an actual website that is secured, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And I did not give you all the phone number. If you would like to call in with a question, you can feel free to call 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894. We will certainly try to get to your question. And, of course, the email address is MsDonnaSpeaks@gmail.com. You can certainly feel free to send an email, as many of you have done and are doing as well. So what do you think would be a suggestion from you, probably if you had to have a top suggestion or a tip to keep people safe? And again, even though we're talking, audience, about during the shopping season, which we're in right now, but we're also talking about tips that you want to remember always to help to keep you, you know, to be safe.
Yes, well, before I answer that question directly, I would like to give your listeners and yourself a couple of websites there that the list that I'm about to give you is much more exhaustive there, and they can obviously go back and visit us at any time. The first one is the National Safety Council. That is a nonprofit, public service organization. And they can be found online at www.nsc.org. That is the National Safety Council at www.nsc.org. And there they list several of the things that I'm going to talk about here now briefly for how to stay safe, along with a range of other things, because they don't just deal with shopping. It's just a really good website for the public. And the second, the second is the www.safety.com. That's easy enough to remember. They list the top family safety websites and blogs that are putting out the most updated information. And again, it encompasses, different stories, articles, the latest statistics and information. And it's a very good initial resource that lists multiple websites. And again, that is www.safety.com. Now, with respect to your question, obviously I'm going to start with what I started with last week. If you are going out and you are going to take advantage of the shopping experience, then you want to be vigilant. That is always the top, my top tip and the top concern, because if you are vigilant, you can see things before they happen in terms of people in places perhaps where they shouldn't be, a car parked where no other car is, as if to get a vantage point on a store or a particular parking lot, and you make yourself what's called a harder target. They'll just get somebody, as I mentioned last week, who's wandering aimlessly in the parking lot with both ears plugged with phones in their hands listening to music, because they'll never know what comes up on them. They'll never essentially know what hits them. And so particularly if you are traveling with or walking in a parking lot or areas with children, you definitely want to stay vigilant in that respect, because you want to make sure nobody just can, as I mentioned last week, just snatch your child or snatch your loved one. Because, again, I've seen people get out of cars. I've been parking in parking spaces, waiting for my wife or just sitting there, perhaps reading something. And I've seen people get out of cars and just adults and start walking toward the store and then just expect the children to get behind them and walk. That's not a very vigilant parent. And those are the types of things that people who are bad actors are kind of looking for soft targets. So being vigilant and being aware is the number one tip. along with that, make sure that you are not leaving any valuables visibly seen in your car, even if you have tinted windows, okay? Don't leave that $1,000 iPhone just sitting on the dashboard or on the front seat. Sometimes people think that that glass that they have in their car is actually maybe bullet-resistant or something, and people won't just knock it out and take what they want. They will. One, because it's a very quick snatch and grab. Before you even realize what's going on or the glass is sitting on the floor or on the ground, they're already gone. So don't make it easier for them by leaving, certainly don't leave large amounts of cash or cash at all, for that matter, visible. But anything that can be redeemable for a dollar value, laptops, electronics, tablets, phones, or bags that perhaps have those things in them. They don't know what's in them, but they know your bag is just kind of sitting out on the front seat. So that would be a close second in terms of protecting yourself and being vigilant when you're out, and being aware and protecting yourself from safety purposes. You don't want to deal with the insurance claim and just the whole violation of having your car broken into.
Wow. We so appreciate this information. You are certainly a wealth of information. And we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Have you signed up for the Public Speaking Club yet?
Public Speaking Club? What's that?
It's the club Miss Riley teaches. You learn to speak comfortably in front of others, how to make introductions, how to introduce your parent to a friend, meetings, greetings. In fact, you learn numerous public speaking tips. Some of my favorite topics include impromptu speaking, how to have great posture and poise, and a lot more. And you learn how to have great social skills, all while gaining more self-esteem and confidence. It's so much fun.
As a parent, I know that academic skills coupled with social skills help make a child well-rounded. That's why I enrolled my children. They volunteer to speak at every opportunity. Their teachers brag on them all the time.
Wow. Well, I'm too short to raise my hand in class, and I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I want to join this public speaking club. I'll ask my mom.
Say goodbye to being shy. Sign up today for the Public Speaking Club at www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, the website is www.pagesetiquette.com. Hurry, avoid the waiting list. This club fills up quickly. www.pagesetiquette.com.
We are back. We are speaking with security protection specialist Derek Crooms. He's given us some great information. I'm going to go ahead and pick up a couple more of your emails. I have one that says, let's see, Ms. D, your show is the only one I listen to because you have so many numerous relevant topics. I appreciate the thought that obviously goes into planning your show. I've been listening for 6 years. Please ask your guest to discuss identity theft. And it says, thanks, Caroline from Baltimore. Also, that's a big one, right?
Yes, it is, actually. So thank you for the question. It's a very good one. Identity theft has kind of taken a back seat than maybe about 10 or 15 years ago when it really first started hitting, when people thought that it couldn't happen to them. Even though I do what I do for a living and I serve where I serve, I too have been a victim of identity theft. So I know firsthand all the things that have to happen in order to restore your good name, dealing with the credit bureaus and so on when it happens to you. In my case, of course, I was traveling on government business using a government credit card, and I was traveling in a country that my identity was compromised by virtue of getting something at a store or something like that. When I got back to Washington, I found out that's what was going on. So there was no personal liability to me with respect to money, but, of course, my identity was stolen. And the answer, and what happens is when you go on certain websites or when you perhaps use your card at a store, as I mentioned earlier, there have been documented cases where people will just photocopy or take a picture nowadays of the card. Okay, so these things happen because they want to buy things and basically have you pay for it with your credit card. But what happens is they go out and take lines of credit. Sometimes they'll go out and try to buy cars because, after all, it doesn't really affect the person who stole the identity. Any liability goes on the unsuspecting person whose card number that is. And it is a pain. You got to, you know, deal with all your creditors, all three of the credit bureaus. And so what that is just that. People want to steal your identity based on your personal information, your address, your social security number, your name, and things of that nature. Many of that can be found on just a regular Google search. You will be surprised what will come up on you if you type your own name and just say Google search. Relatives, phone numbers, past addresses that you've had. And if you can do that on yourself, anybody else can do it as well. And so when it comes to identity theft, there are several, I don't get paid from any of these companies, but there are several companies out there who do offer those types of identity theft insurances that they say that they will back up up to $1 million and so on and so forth if your identity is ever stolen or compromised. And if you do want to invest in those things, just do a little research and find out and choose the ones that's perhaps will be most beneficial to you.
Wow. Great, great information. And Caroline, thank you again for that. So, gosh, when it comes to identity, well, you know what? It seems as though we really don't have any type of privacy anymore, correct? Because you just mentioned just kind of Google your own name and see, you know, everything that comes up. So that says to me that we really don't have much privacy. What do you say regarding that?
I would agree. We live in such a technologically advanced society now. That's one aspect of it. But quite frankly, every time we have a mass shooting or something bad happens, more and more of our personal liberties are being, we're going to have to give those up just in the nature of trying to keep us all safe. If you've flown, anybody who flew or traveled by plane prior to 9/11 and post 9/11 knows kind of what it is that I'm talking about. That experience looks totally different than what it used to. You used to could literally wait there at the gate until your loved ones got on their planes and watch them take off. Those days are long gone with long security lines and TSA and so on and so forth. So I would agree. Anywhere that you go, you're probably going to be videotaped or are being videotaped and everywhere that you go, from theme parks to walking along streets and shopping areas to squares and so on and so forth. Because that's just the nature of the society that we live in now, where we're giving up our privacy.
Wow, that is amazing. It's really amazing. Here's one that says, Etiquette Lady, can any skimmers on the inside of the store be tampered with? And if so, how do you know? And would it be the employee's or the salesperson's fault? Please advise. Thanks, Etiquette Lady, for what you do. This comes from Donita in Atlanta. Donita, thank you for that question.
What was the first part of the question? Any skimmers on the inside of what now?
On the inside of the stores be tampered with. And because I know we talked about a little earlier, it may be better to go inside. And if you go inside, so it looks like she's responding, saying that the skimmers on the inside, do we just assume that they're necessarily safer, I guess, than the ones at the pump? Like
I think
outside.
She's talking about the point of sale. She's talking about the points of sale where you will buy stuff at.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it sounds like
okay.
It. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the skimming devices will be on the inside of them, just a regular point of sale. I go to the Quick Trip all the time, and of course, they tell me what it is, what my price is. I put my card in with the chip and pull it out. Is it possible that there could be some sort of skimming mechanism put in there? The answer is yes. If that is the case, it's more than likely somebody that works there, which is what the second part of her question, somebody who services that store, meaning they bring sodas or bring other product, or that they work there. It's highly unlikely that a parishioner or that a person who wants to patronize that store is going to have the time or the ability to do that and nobody from the store see them and then come back and collect that data. So, yes, I would say that it would probably be an inside job there, and I would say that it's possible that those things could happen.
And that's probably why she was stating that. Would that be the employee's or the salesperson's fault
And so it sounds like more than likely that answer is yes, is it's considered an insight. And I think we probably, we sometimes may have a false sense of security that just because we go inside and it's, you know, it's okay. But I know you mentioned at the top of the show that, you know, it's been reported that there have been salespeople that have actually copied down, you know, the credit card information. So, so audience, we said that we're going to bring you the best in the information, and this is certainly some great information. And you do, for those who you are thinking, gosh, so, you know, such and such or so and so should be listening to this show, no worries. Just forward the information to them. Again, the shows are all archived, and so forward the link or post it, because this is really, really great information. And again, even though we're talking about, you know, 'tis the season to shop, if you will, that it's during the shopping season, we're talking about being, you know, really vigilant all year round and being very, you know, aware of what we're doing and how to stay safe. And any closing comments that you would like to share that you maybe haven't shared? I know it's just so much more information I'm sure that you can speak about, but if you could take about a minute or so to just give us some closing comments, if you would.
Sure. I'll just say briefly that none of the information that I've shared either this week or last week should be taken or should be understood as any type of a panic or walk around paranoid. It's basically just to inform you and inform your listeners and those who you will talk to and your family and loved ones of the dangers that are out there and how we can protect ourselves. Case in point, I didn't really mention earlier about there are certain things that you can put on your keys. You've probably seen them, little mace devices that really aren't that much larger than, I don't know, a pen, a little bit thinner or thicker rather, but they hook right on your keychain. Those are things that you can put on your keys that you usually have with you all the time or on your purse that can give you time in case you are accosted. Time gives you options, options to get away, options to get your children away. So those are things that I wanted to leave with your audience, that all of this information is just to do that, just to inform you, because ignorance simply means not knowing. However, the cure to that is information.
Well, I'm so glad that you did share that, because I'm sure some listeners are thinking, well, wow, I shouldn't carry cash, but I don't know if I want to use my card, because my card may be, you know, they may actually get my information, and then here comes an identity theft issue. So thank you so much for putting it out there, because we don't want people walking around paranoid, even though, the purpose of the show is to make you a little more conscious. And so we certainly hope that that happens. Well, everyone, again, thanks again for, you know, supporting our show and listening each week. Those of you who send us emails, thank you so much. We don't take that lightly. We are so glad that you all are a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family, even if it's your first time listening. If you have an etiquette question or a topic you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Please share this information with your friends and family. We are trying to make the world a polite place to live, we know. But we can only do this one person at a time. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. All these virtues tightly, write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And again, thank you so much for the information that you shared with us today. I'm so grateful that you've taken time out of your schedule, Security Specialist Crone, to give us such wonderful, wonderful information. And the information that you all heard, you want to actually utilize it as well, okay? Well, they say don't be a hearer only of the word, but be a doer as well, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so, all right. And thanks again, everyone, for joining us. Feel free to go back and listen to the show again and part one. If you joined us late, you can listen to this show in its entirety as well. Well, once again, thank you all. Please join us next week. We have an amazing youth that we will be speaking with next week. So we know that this is a family show. We have a lot of young people that listen as well. So you certainly do want to listen out for that show next week. Again, thank you so much. We appreciate every time you take time out of your schedule. Good night. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time when we will discuss another exciting topic.